Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Intermission.
Just out of nowhere, does anyone have any tips on how to move a dead fridge? If you do, please tweet them to Kinsey. Thanks in advance.
Poor Kinsey, he's actually been left out in the cold this time.
No, the problem is that I haven't been left out in the cold. I don't have any cold anymore.
Poor Kinsey. Looks like he's been left without any chill.
I miss meat.
But enough about that. We actually have a special guest coming along with us this week. Everyone, I'd like you to say hello to Mr. Icarus Lives.
Hello! Lovely to be here.
All right, lovely to have you come along. He's, for those who are probably in the know, he's the creator and narrator and player behind Doom Mod Madness, a regular series on YouTube, which is about, well, playing Doom mods. It's actually pretty neat.
It's definitely worth checking out his channel.
Why, thank you. You can tell he reviews stuff regularly because his microphone's actually quality.
That's the trick. You start with the microphone first, then everything follows.
Yes. All right. And we've got some feedback from last week. Probably the first thing that people have mentioned is that for people that aren't too much fans of Mark, we sure do talk about him quite a bit.
Tall poppies are there to be cut down, man.
it's kind of half and half. Basically, half of the matter is that Mark tends to be related to quite a lot of stuff that's going on in the community. Like last week, we talked about Patreons. Hey, guess who's got a big Patreon? And we also talked about Brutal Doom offshoots. Well, hey, guess who's in charge of Brutal Doom? The other half is Kinsey's probably a bit of a snarky bastard.
Yeah, guilty as charged.
Okay, so if we're going to improve, we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard. So Kinsey, putting a moratorium right here. No more Brutal Doom jokes, okay?
I promise nothing, but we'll try.
something Armageddon Doom.
Yeah, I think it's Armageddon Doom. Another thing worth pointing out is that the podcast was actually really kind of late last week. And by kind of late, I mean about a whole week late. And that too, also a multiple of factors. One, we recorded late. And two, there were things that were happening last week. I'm sure you probably know a little bit about what was going on if you're an American citizen. Something to do with politics and people being elected, I don't know.
What Term is trying to say is that he's gotten pregnant. That's what happens when you're a week late.
Is it a tentacle monster or an alien?
It's actually an Arkvile.
Damn, my condolences.
Sounds about right, actually.
That's an uncanny fella.
Yes. And actually, it turned out that the schedule was actually a lot better as a result, because I didn't have to rush through everything, and I could actually just sit back and edit things a little bit by a little bit. So I think we'll probably be persisting with that format. Record on one Friday, Saturday, I'll edit through the week, upload on the next Friday, Saturday, and it'll just be alternating back and forth.
That's the best way to get around having a late episode. You just claim that you've changed the schedule, and it's just going to be later than always.
We have altered the schedule. Pray we do not alter it further.
I do have to say thanks for accommodating my time zone as well for this episode.
Yeah, basically everyone here this week is in an entirely different time zone. So it's like after dinner for me and like fuck o'clock for Term.
Oh, it's almost like 4 a.m. here.
It's the regular British morning here in Britbong land.
So you're rainy and shit.
You're like 12 hours behind me. No wonder I'm up so late. Wow.
What time is it for you, Shivers?
10 at night.
Oh, yeah, that's really late.
I'm falling asleep.
That's a time.
All right, jumping straight on from there, we've got news in the Doom community. And we've actually got to be starting this up on a somber note, because there was very recently a death in the Doom community. A user, mapper, and competitive player, user named Malinku, real name Andrew Reberger. He died. He was murdered in his house, a brutal head injury, probably bludgeoned to death of some sort. And not everyone in the community is Eric Alm, and everyone knows who Essa Repo, also known as Espy, is. But a death in the community, it's always a tragedy. Mm. Yeah, so rest in peace, Malinku. This one's for you.
Just reached a place where the willow don't bend. There's not much more to be said. It's the top of the end. So I'm going I'm going, I'm gone.
Moving on to happier news, somewhat happier, relatively happier. The PC version of Killing Time is now out on Good Old Games.
It is?
Yeah, previously it was like only on some proprietary thing called Zoom platform, but I guess it must have sold about as much copies as it deserved because it's now on GOG. It seems to be like an updated semi-remastered version. Linguica seems to think that like Doom code was used in it, and I guess he'd be in a position to know.
I do have to say I'm not entirely familiar with this one. I'm just flicking through the screenshots on GOG right now. There's a clown, there's a crowbar, and yeah, could someone explain this to me?
I think it's FMV footage.
Yeah, it's like a Doom clone, Wolfenstein clone thing, but one of the gimmicks is that like you can see ghosts of the other people in your, like, I think you're on a flight or something, and you like see ghosts of them as FMV footage in the world.
Right.
Because this was originally released on the 3DO, which was multimedia as fuck. So, like, they really tried to push the whole FMV multimedia experience thing into their Doom clone, and it didn't work out very well at all. Apparently, the PC version is actually different from the 3DO version. There's FMV or whatever.
The weapon sprites are also different, and actually, looking closer, seem to be out of the aspect ratio.
Yeah, I can see them peeking over the border in the screenshots, which ain't great.
Yeah.
It makes the character look like they're walking around with a box over their head and just peeking out the weapon from inside the cardboard box.
It's like the a comic panel where like an arm is stretching out of the borders or whatever.
Look, Killing Time guy, you have to make use of the box. The box is love. The box is life. The box will allow you to become the best FPS.
Coming soon, Scott McLeod's Doom. I'm the only person who's going to get that, right?
I got that reference.
Yeah, I love Metal Slug.
All right. Speaking of releases, next up is probably a release that everyone knows about this mod, even if they don't know about it by name. Total Chaos got a release recently, and whoo boy.
You might know it by its other name. What? How?
Witchcraft.
Yes. Total Chaos is probably one of the most technologically advanced Doom mods, to the point where it doesn't even look like a Doom mod anymore.
I got to the point where I was playing it where I completely forgot that I was even playing a Doom mod.
And I know that there's been a lot of talk about, wow, this mod is so advanced, it's not like I'm even playing Doom anymore. But in this case, it really isn't even like Doom anymore.
Nope.
It is basically an entirely different game that just so happens to have GZ Doom at its core. And that must have made it a complete and total nightmare to make.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just the sheer amount of assets included in it. I mean, one thing that I was mentioning when I was doing an early playthrough was flapping tarps. Just at the side, I think I stood there for a good 5 minutes looking at it just to see the loop in the animation. I was like, that must have been a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And boy, does it show in size. I mean, it's almost 1 gigabyte in size.
Wow. Yeah.
Every single size is worth it.
Isn't there a limit to how big a file RAM running in /GZDoom can be, too?
No.
Well, if there is, then it must be getting close. But I don't think it is. It just loads whatever the hell. So yeah, it's a very weird, like, if you look at Blade of Agony, it uses all new assets everywhere. It doesn't look like Doom anymore, but it still looks like a retro FPS. An advanced one, like on the level of Shadow Warrior or Blood, with some GL features and stuff, but it still looks like a retro FPS. Total Chaos looks like a modern game. A low-budget one, like an indie one, but it still looks like a game from this era. And being able to actually do that in GZ Doom is a hell of a feat.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
I haven't actually played it myself yet, because I've been busy with some real-world stuff, like the fridge. But Icarus, I believe you played it and had some things to say about it?
Yeah, in fact, maybe by the time this actually goes out, the video will be up on my channel, you know, if anyone wants to have a look. But it's not very long at the moment, considering it's an open alpha. It's consisting entirely of the tutorial level and the opening chapter. And it's just goddamn great. It was that kind of thing where I was playing through it and just noticing that they went a little further than the bare minimum. They could have just coasted along entirely on having it look utterly fantastic. But then you get to other elements introduced there, like you've got health, you've got stamina, you've got a bleed meter as well. You've got a sanity meter in there as well that you'll need to manage at some point. And an inventory system, which I was kind of impressed with the implementation of, because it doesn't pause the game either while you've got it open. So you've got a bit of a trade-off between actually going into a fight with something lurching and horrific and making sure you can actually get out of that alive. So there's a nice bit of tension in each encounter that you have there that I wasn't really anticipating.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me a lot of Neverwinter Nights' inventory system.
Mm. I got a little bit of Stalker Shadow of Chernobyl out of it, actually.
Yeah, that's probably more accurate. I will admit I have not played any of the Stalker series, but pretty much every single comment on a game journalism site, they've been mentioning Stalker constantly. So I probably have to check it out, if only to broaden my knowledge.
Stalker is a fascinating game. I put Stalker in this category of games that I can't really say I enjoy, but I'm happy are there. Mm-hmm. Because they contribute some interesting things to the whole game design discussion thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting things such as Cheeky Breaky.
Russian Songs by the Campfire. And of course, Blowout soon, fellow Stalker.
Absolutely. If there's one thing that's definitely going to be said about Total Chaos, I mean, it's one of those games where you just know when it finishes, it's going to be plastered all over the CAC Awards section.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Oh, speaking of which, I mean, it's almost exactly 1 month until the next CAC Awards session.
What a lovely segue.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's almost like I've been thinking about this the entire night.
Yeah.
But as always, every single year, December runs around, there's a CAC Awards session, and everyone's got their own little daggers and arguments and swords and flails and other arguments about what would obviously be the best contenders for a CAC award. So, obviously, I'm not going to be saying anything because I'm writing the damn things, but what would you guys say is probably your top picks for this year?
Well, let's see. What big gameplay mods came out this year? I mean, there was Legend Doom, there was Arachnophobia.
Nature's Call.
Nature's Call, yeah.
Definitely Nature's Call. That was a top tier mod, in my opinion.
That's an absolute pisser. You get it?
It was the shit.
Wow. We're rolling with the puns.
Oh, yeah.
But the trouble I kind of have with the CAC Awards is I tend to get to mods very much out of order from when the typically released. So a lot of the time, I'm not actually aware of when most of the mods I play were released.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah, I'm kind of trapped outside of time as well. One thing that I will have to give a shout out to as far as maps go is JPCP, the Japanese Community Project.
That is
definitely something that needs to be considered, because even outside of its unusual origins, it is a really good map set that covers all sorts of different bases. Slaughtery stuff to more puzzly stuff. It is done really well.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I would have given it a CAC award for, what the, Creepy Bone.
Oh, yes. Full of all sorts of weird things in there, too.
There's a lot of ingenuity that goes on in the maps. There's a lot of impressive stuff that's done on the technology side, such as pretty much the entirety of Map 29, which is a real treat to play through. And overall, it's got a wide variety of different things, like Kenzie was saying. Of course, being a community map project, there's a couple real bad stinkers in there, but I mean, that's pretty much standard for all community map projects, and honestly, I think that just makes the brilliant maps just shine all the more. Of course, I'm slightly biased, considering I'm friends with like half the mappers, so...
It's also an interesting project because it was produced primarily by like newcomers or largely untested mappers, sort of under the direction of someone who had more experience under their belt. And it's sort of interesting to see how, like, each map has sort of been shepherded along through, like, the technical issues, the gameplay issues, and that, while still maintaining their own personality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, so, it's really easy to tell who's made what maps. I mean, you got Toasty with the intricate mapping style. You got, oh, I've forgotten the name now.
Mambo with his insane detail.
Yeah, that's it, Mambo.
And then you got Kurashiki with her unique sort of puzzle style gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And the wonderful Easter eggs.
I do have to admit that it's something I need to play through a little bit further. Most of my time's kind of dominated by more, you know, shorter, more clipped mods and WADs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I will say this right now, for those that are playing JPCP and are stuck on a certain map, my fave, where there's torches on blue squares and they seem to kill you, pay attention to the torches. It's really subtle, but it's really something that requires a careful look. And then once you figure it out, wow, that is really cool.
Mm.
Is it anything like that one TNT map?
Shh!
Spoilers!
Yes. It's pretty much exactly like that puzzle. It's a really nice shout out.
As far as gameplay mods go, this year has been an absolutely rich with them.
Mm.
Unlike last year.
Really? I thought this year was actually kind of sparse on terms of gameplay mods. Seems like everybody and their brother wanted to map.
Well, there's also been a lot more maps than that, which I think we can attribute to Doom 2016.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there's also things like Argent, D4D,
Zion,
Does Trailblazer fit this year?
I think Trailblazer was last year.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, like the big name mods that were released 2016, there was Doom for Doom, Combined Arms, Colorful Hell, Custom Doom, Meta Doom, Black Warrior, Bratwurst.
Legend Doom.
Yeah, Legend Doom. I really like Bratwurst.
Bratwurst is underrated, I'd say.
Oh yeah, Bratwurst is great. Everybody loves shooting Nazis, and it's rare to see mods that are specifically just for replacing enemies. So no matter what weapon set you load it up with, you can have a nice variety of Nazis to shoot with. And that is really, really cool.
And they're extremely customizable to an extent I don't think I've ever really seen with a gameplay mod.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can adjust pretty much everything about every monster, which must have been a bit of a feat development-wise, but the end results really showed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if there's one thing I've noticed this year, it seems that lots and lots of mods seem to have gone for that whole customizability aspect, which is really awesome to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really fascinating to see, like, what the big thing is with gameplay mods every year. Like, whether it goes to, like, smooth animations or customization and so on and so forth.
Upgrade trees.
This year it was ripping off Doom 4.
Yeah, this year was basically cribbing on Doom 4.
It's the popular thing with the kids today.
Yeah, but we are all the richer for it. Lots of good stuff.
And it's not like cribbing off the new Doom game is like a new concept. Like, the same sort of thing happened back in the day with Doom 2.5 when Doom 3 came out.
Mm-hmm.
And several other, like, proto gameplay mods, primarily for Edge. Speaking of which, Shivers, I heard you... actually, we should probably get to that later.
Nah. I think this is a great way to seek into. So, moving on to the what you've been playing section of our regular podcast. Hey, Shivers, what have you been playing lately? I hear you've been playing some Edge mods.
I have been playing some Edge mods, and they're actually really good. Like, there's some stuff in there that's done nice.
Really?
And it's just... I feel like it's just the source port that's making people not play it that much, because, I mean, I know I got Edge. Does anyone else actually have Edge? Show of hands.
I had it.
Edge used to be huge back in the day, sort of before Decorate for Zedrum, as it was sort of like the thing that allowed easy replacing of characters, like adding new actors to the game.
And EDF, I think, is its language?
Yeah, sort of like a... early version of DHACT, I suppose, with sort of jankier. And
it's an interesting source port.
Yeah.
I mean, the movement is different to most of the other ports I've played. Like, you can run into a wall, and then when you try to pull away from it, you'll kind of stick to it for a bit. I don't really know what's up with that, but it's thrown me off quite a lot of times. But one of the really cool things about the port is there's actually a lot of customization options. Like, you can change how blood works, so it's sort of like Nash Gore or something like that. You can have tiny adjustments to, like, adding weapon recoil to everything, or having it so that there's stuff that's semi-transparent, like health bonuses or fireballs. It's neat stuff like that that makes it a really unique source port.
I think my only experience with Edge is I was trying to get a Duke for Doom mod running, and it was only running in Edge. Couldn't get it to work. Kind of gave up because I'm rubbish.
That's a CJ mod, and yeah, that's his stuff's all for Edge, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's only like a few Edge modders left nowadays. Edge is sort of a fascinating thing because, like I said earlier, back in the day, it was basically the thing for like this thing that we now know as gameplay mods through things like Immoral Conduct and Don's Challenge by Corey Whittle, which were both these fantastic things that really changed the Doom gameplay. Mm-hmm. But then, like, Doom started developing further, it got Decorate and such, and Edge sort of got left behind. It's sort of this weird thing slightly out of time with the rest of the world. And it still has its uses, people still use it for things, but it's sort of this weird uncommon thing now.
It's kind of the underground, but actually that's kind of weird to say considering, I mean, we're talking about Doom, but it's the underground source port. It's got all the stranger updates, like, I don't know if I'm remembering right, but apparently you can run Quake 3 maps in it now.
I haven't heard anything about that.
It's a strange choice.
Mm. It's cool, but yeah.
It's cool, but mostly kind of useless. Kind of like the source port as a whole, really.
From what I can tell, when it comes down to popular source ports, it basically comes down to convenience.
And if there's one thing that ZDoom has over everything, it is incredibly convenient.
Yeah, like, basically, you have one executable that can run, like, 12 years of weird and wonderful things, to say nothing of, like, vanilla stuff, boom stuff, that kind of thing.
MBF, Vavoom, all that.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of basically a Swiss Army knife of modding stuff. You really just need, like, one executable, you pull your WAD file out, and you basically open up the door to a bunch of stuff. You don't have to, like, fiddle around with different ports for everything. And it's very popular due to the whole Brutal Doom thing, the whole D4D thing. So it's sort of taken, like, the de facto default option for mods. As much as some mappers probably hate that.
Yeah, as much as some modders probably hate it, a lot of people kind of get a little uppity when you compare Edge to ZDoom.
The two ports have a strange relationship, since they're sort of... Edge sort of has its own little corner on the ZDoom forum, since the authors of both ports are buddies. And I guess this sort of strange tension between, like, the people that mod for Edge and the people that mod for ZDoom. Not that it really means much of anything. It's just sort of... And, like, nothing bad is really ever going to come of that in the long term. It's just sort of fascinating to watch from the side.
They just tolerate each other, is that it?
Yeah, sort of, I guess. There's, like, occasionally someone will be like, please don't port this to ZDoom or whatever, but that's really rare.
Mm.
And really funny if you think about it from a certain way.
I just want to meet an Edge modder that I don't want to punch in the face. Is that too much to ask?
You don't like CJ?
Okay, yeah, that's harsh. CJ's a cool guy. CJ's a real cool guy.
Maybe just punch him in the arm.
Yeah.
Like, elbow him in the ribs a little.
So what I've been playing, I gave the new D4D a shot. I think when we last recorded, only the trailer had been released, but it's out now, so I'm having a look. It's a fascinating update, since it now has, like, the whole glory kill system from Doom 4. They simplified their menu system, which is interesting because cutting complex things out of a mod in favor of simpler solutions isn't really common, because there's a lot of showing off apparent with the whole mod thing. But cutting something out in favor of something that's simpler but works better, I think worked out really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's very technically accomplished, but I guess there's a bunch of... I feel like certain gameplay features, I feel slightly off about them, really. Like, playing Valiant Vaccinated Edition with it, I actually had a bit of trouble getting through, like, the first map because of the Mancubus after the first, like, elevator area. That crowd would just start nailing me. And that's not really a problem I've had with other gameplay mods, so I'm not really sure if that's, like, a balance issue or if it's just a me-being-shit issue or what.
Hmm.
I'm just honestly surprised to see the glory kill system in, because if I remember correctly, earlier iterations, Cook and DB Thanatos, they were very firm about no glory kills. We are not including glory kills. And then come the V2 update, here they are.
Maybe it was a case of just people constantly demanding it. You never know. It's the audience for a mod, ultimately.
Hmm. That and, like, the... I think there might have been a bad taste in their mouths from, like, the fatality system in Brutal Doom, which is a little bit overwrought. And the way they actually do it, technically, is really well done. Like, they're not, like... The animations are a bit simpler in that it's basically your hands and feet swinging around in front of a monster and then they explode. But it plays out really well in the game itself.
Yeah, the whole thing about Doom 4 was the fact that it flowed nicely as well, which is something that you don't particularly get in Brutal Doom, where it's, you know, we're going to stop and watch this animation now. Whereas if they can adhere more to the, right, we've killed a thing and made it explode, let's move on to the next killy thing.
Yeah, really... keeps the pace of the original game. Like, when I say the original game, what am I referring to? Doom or Doom?
Yes. I think another thing that doesn't really work well in regards to the glory kill factor is that the entire point of it was the intricate animations, which they could do incredibly well because of the model-based movements, the ragdolling, how they could have things react to each other there. You try that with sprites, and it just doesn't really work as well. HUD sprites and enemy sprites, they don't mingle. You can't really have them interact very well.
Mm. Yeah, I think they compromised well, though, with how they handled the animations. But it's something that you can't really get perfect with the setup in Z-Doom with a 2.5D first-person shooter, really, since the world and the HUD can't really interact with each other.
Yeah.
That and, like, the animations in Doom 4 for the glory kills are actually really, really well done. Because they're getting so much across in, like, 1 second or half a second, which must have been a real challenge for the animators. Because, like, how do you set up this complicated comical demise in, like, half a second while still making it readable and not, like... shuffling your player viewpoint off in a different direction than what you were looking at before, so you get a bit lost.
And then do it again with Berserk, and this time do it even harsher.
Yeah, that must have been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Hard, but fun.
What about you, Icarus? I'm sure you've been playing a whole bunch of stuff lately.
Yeah, well, recently I've spent obviously a lot of time with Total Chaos, but between that I've been bouncing around Titanfall 2 for my modern AAA rubbish stuff, and I've also been playing Doomhack and trying to figure out what the hell that is. It is anime the mod.
Doomhack.
Yeah, not sure if you've seen it. It's basically got a lot of Toho elements.
Oh, yes, I remember that old ROM hack of Doom.
Yeah, it's baffling and entertaining at the same time. Just, you know, exploding, drifting cars for no reason, mini chibi Gundams bomb rushing you, and it's the kind of thing you kind of play to drown out the rest of the noise in your head, just because it's. Everything is happening at the same time.
Is that mod where like the player HUD face is Detective Gumshoe from Phoenix Wright, or am I thinking of something else? Okay, awesome.
That's the one.
Doom mod where you use the power of internet memes in order to fight off other internet memes before you megapoons or the level.
Yes, that is exactly it. I was a big fan of the audio clip they have for Rocket Launcher. It's the mangled English. It's like Rocket Launcher. When you pick it up,
Metal Slug had the best announcer.
Oh yes, very much.
Oh, big,
big money, big prizes. I love it.
And the other thing I've been playing, which is more topical for current events, is Trump Doom.
Oh boy.
which is actually, which is oddly fun to play. It's got a lot of like Duke Nukem elements in there, you know, plain as day to see. But they decided to go goofy with it. They didn't go too obnoxious. And basically, the first few levels are you trying to guide Trump to the speaking podium through invading aliens and demons. But the one kind of did he really go there moment is the imps have Mexican hats on.
Oh,
And I'm like, oh. It's, yeah.
It's kind of funny when you contrast it with a certain other mod, Moonman Doom, which...
Oh, yeah. This is basically the sucks in air through teeth.wad section of the podcast.
Well, the funny thing about Moon is that I occasionally get people asking me if I'll cover it on the channel, and I'm like, first of all, my parents know what I do. Secondly, you know,
it's total shit.
Yeah. And the other thing is I won't really enjoy it. It's that kind of thing where most of the time I do try to pick something that I'll either enjoy or have an enjoyable reaction to. And that's the kind of thing where I'll just be kind of all the way through it.
The thing about Trump Doom is that it actually takes the subject matter and uses it to build an enjoyable WOD. Mm. Whether you like Trump or whether you hate Trump, it's objectively, by its own merits, it's pretty fun to play through. Mm. You take Moon Man Doom, and it's just a generic weapon mod with all of the enemies taken from Pol.Wad.
And all of the most edgy sound clips you can find.
Yeah, it's really kind of mediocre at best. It's a late 90s de-hacked mod with graphics replacements, except made in Decorate.
Yeah, but if there's one thing that I really did like the most at my brief time with Trump Doom before I moved on to other stuff was that there's like Robo Bernie Sanders in there. I just like, okay, that's an interesting choice. Yeah, Trump gets arrested by Robo Bernie Sanders and you have to break out from jail.
Electronic right. Old man running the world. A new age.
UNATCO. Savage. Savage. UNATCO.
Get out of here, dead
no. Savage.
Oh, it's descended into madness.
Oh, yes. And then from there, we move on to what I've been playing. It's actually a little bit of a heresy in regards to retro FPSs. I've been playing...
It's 15 years old, man!
I've been playing Halo. I've been playing the very first Halo.
Get good out!
We've got the extremes of two reactions right there.
I love Halo, though. I just like telling everyone their opinion's terrible.
It's the lore of the internet.
Yeah, well, shitting on people's opinions is basically the internet's first drug.
First lore of the internet.
Yeah. So what version are you playing, Tim? PC version, or like one of the remasters, or what?
No, I'm playing like the original PC version by Gearbox, not really the custom edition. I didn't really have the custom edition, but I was going through my old collection of old CDs, and I found Halo, and I figured... You know, it's been almost 15 years. Might as well give it a shot.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. And I fired it up, I installed it, and... I know that Halo has become the butt of so many jokes, and honestly, not all of the jokes are undeserved, because... Boy, has the series really gone to shit.
Yeah.
The original Halo is actually surprisingly fun. Halo 2 came along, and they just started really bleh, but...
Throwing it down?
Oh, yeah. But the original Halo, it's still pretty fun. There's a lot of flaws and issues with it. I think probably the biggest issue is, A, how completely mind-numbingly slow it is, both in aiming, in movement, and in even just looking around. And two, there is a lot of cluttered real estate on the screen. The HUD is huge, the weapons are gigantic, the animations take up a lot of screen. But overall, the core gameplay, it's pretty interesting. One of the biggest things that Halo gets a lot of shit for is introducing regenerating health, but I think in Halo 1 it was actually handled pretty well, because it wasn't regenerating health per se.
It was a regenerating shield, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just a buffer on top of your existing health. You still had to manage your health, and you had to manage it really, really well. But there was always this buffer. You could go into every battle knowing, I can always take X amount of damage.
I always enjoyed, like, the sort of... Like, the gameplay flow in the Halo games really worked to me, going... Sort of the corridor arena sort of thing. Not enormously complex, but for the gameplay that they designed and the AI that they used, I thought it worked really well throughout all the Bungie games. And then we got to the 343 series, and
Yeah, the first Halo has probably the most unique distinction of having the absolute best and the absolute worst level in the entire franchise.
They actually fixed that in the remasters.
Yeah, now it's a mediocre level.
Yeah, like if you turn on the HD graphics, they like the redesigned the level art has like big arrows everywhere telling you where to go.
It's a good sign when a level requires arrows to navigate.
The one thing I really enjoyed about Halo was that it was actually a complete story. It was all self-contained, and then you get 2, 3, 4, and then you get all of these dangling strands afterwards. But the first one always felt like a complete cohesive whole.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing with Halo 2 is that it was a complete mess development-wise. They like rebuilt the engine 3 times. They were basically working on it right until up until the part where they were basically forced out of the development server so they could press discs.
And apparently one of the levels that they demoed was not even in there. They had to cut that out completely because if they strayed too far outside of the demo bounds, it would just crash and break and burn.
Oh, man, that demo was basically held together with twine. They were talking about, like, they were actively deleting stuff behind the player as you went ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
And they actually tried to resurrect that mission for, like, the anniversary edition of Halo 2, but it was just so held together with duct tape that they couldn't do it. Like, if with the bit where you're driving around, if your wheel moved, like, a centimeter out of where it was in the demo, the system would just crash violently.
I feel bad for the guy that had to actually demonstrate that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That must have been like hair on end for that entire E3.
Yeah. And then again, E3 is usually a cavalcade of, you know, fail. But that would have been a huge one if that would have happened.
Mm-hmm. One interesting story that I read about the development of Halo 2 is in order to improve morale in the most ironic way, what they would do with a whiteboard is they would draw a picture of a flying plane that was on fire, and they would draw little pictures of themselves on the cargo bay just throwing boxes off. And as development went on, they would draw additional boxes with additional features and things that they had to throw out.
And that was to improve morale.
Yes. By the end of development, they had used up 4 whiteboards worth of space.
Man, that Halo 2's development is basically one big book on what not to do.
Mm.
And they've told that story a whole lot, but I'd just love to see it all in one place. From stuff being having to be cut at the last minute to Microsoft executives threatening to quit if they didn't get an extra month of development time and...
It's the kind of thing where you'd just love to be a fly on the wall. You just kill for a documentary on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Ended up being the most popular entry in the franchise for better and for worse.
Minor miracle.
Mm.
If you can even call it a miracle, considering just how much it really dumbed down from the previous game.
Mm.
Well, you know, you sell enough souls to Satan, you can actually ship on time.
The dual wielding mechanic, I
love it.
I hate it. In my own personal gameplay hell, there is a special spot reserved for Halo 2's dual wielding. Because the thing about the original Halo, it's that every single individual weapon, they had a really nice niche. Every single one. They all filled a little specific role. Sure, the pistol was a completely overpowered piece of shit, but it was a nice all-around weapon. And it was a great all-around weapon because it did everything fantastic. And if you knew how to use it, you could just excel. And then Halo 2 comes along, and not only does every weapon have to contend with its own single niche, but also you've got this dual-wielding system, which means every single weapon, one-handed by itself, utter shit. You use two-handed weapons, and you gotta juggle each of the functions with each other. By themselves, they're kinda half-assed, and together, they're kind of, well...
And just to add insult to injury, in one of the DLC maps, they had the Halo 1 pistol sitting behind a grate out of reach.
One thing that gives me the equivalent of NAM flashbacks in Halo multiplayer is a dual-wielded needler. God, I hated that.
Ah, yes. I love the dual-wielded needler.
I can't believe Halo is retro now.
You're getting old, man.
Back in my day, we could see our own feet in video games.
Back in my day, I had hair and a working fridge.
It's not even that too far off from what's normally considered retro. I mean, it's only a 1 year difference from Deus Ex. And it's only a couple months difference from the first Serious Sam.
When you put it like that, where did I put my alcohol?
Oh, you want another reminder? You want to know what's becoming 10 years old? Mass Effect.
Oh, sod it.
Soon Mass Effect will be retro. What do you think of that?
I'm just going to walk into the sea. Take my woes with me. Take my video game collection in the backpack. Just walk into the sea.
I'm going to go hide myself in my non-working fridge. Lady, don't open it.
Well, hey, you know, the good thing about the fridge is if a nuke goes off and you're hiding in the fridge, you'll be okay.
Mighty nuke engaged.
Actually, I think that movie's almost 10 years old, too.
Oh. Okay, let's happier grounds, let's move
on. Let's talk about the present.
Okay, so let's go on. What have you been working on? So, Icarus, you've been working on that Doom Mod Madness thing lately, haven't you?
Yeah, that little old curiosity that I make. It's a nice little conveyor belt that I've got going at the moment. I've got a nice plan for the next few weeks. The most recent one that's going to come out after we're done recording here will be Total Chaos. And I'm hoping at some point in the future to kind of maybe diversify a little bit. It's going to be something video game related, but on a more unexpected tangent. So you heard the hint dropped here first.
I can't believe Mr. Icarus is going to review H-Doom again.
Oh, yeah. Every single animation up close, high detail, no sensor filter this time. You're going to get a face full of it.
Oh, it's just what I've always wanted.
Bring
Those
your
tissues.
Those
in the first row, you will get wet.
Oh, good grief. That was an experience.
Yeah, I'm honestly surprised that YouTube did not come down on it, considering how much was not actually censored in the video.
Yeah, I mean, to be perfectly honest, I just got tired of putting the censor filter over things because it's an absolute pain in the backside. I've got a newfound level of respect for people that have to censor Japanese porn. And it's just like, oh God, there's one enemy in there that I don't know if you're aware of, but the Mancubus in H-Doom. Oh God, you cannot get away with having that on screen in just its normal form whatsoever. You know, someone comes across that.
I don't think anything in that mod can be called a normal form.
You know, I can deal with boobies and maybe the hint of demon vagina, but when it comes to the Mancubus, that was just ever so slightly over the line, and my brain broke trying to move the sensor filter around on the screen.
Oh God, I'm glad this isn't in Smell-O-Vision.
Oh, that's for the sequel. That's definitely for the sequel. Haven't the guys who are making the South Park game, don't they have like a Smell-O-Vision thing? It's like VR, but for your nose.
Mm-hmm.
You can smell the ass when someone farts.
Oh,
didn't they do something like that with Earthbound?
Yeah.
They have like a scratch and sniff manual in that. Mm-hmm. And scratch and sniff ads, which really backfired on them when they started releasing the This Game Stinks ads.
Yeah, really, really ram it home to the customers.
Yeah.
Well, Shivers, what have you been working on recently?
Let's see. I think I looked at some maps recently. And I was gonna do stuff with them. Just occasionally plinking away at laundry. I did some stuff for another map, I think. I don't know. I know what I've done. I've been doing some sprite requests for something. I forget what they are at the moment, but
that's a sign of quality.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Shivers just wakes up and he has an entire folder of animation frames done that he can't remember where they came from.
Yes, we'll animate for food.
One day he's going to find the elves in his attic and all his questions will be answered at once.
Well, where did this folder of dog guns come from?
Well, there's only two dog guns, actually.
I like how he has to differentiate between dog guns.
Well, one fires chihuahuas and the other one, I'm not so sure.
One's a melee weapon.
One fires chihuahuas, one is a chihuahua.
A chihuahua that fires tiny chihuahuas. Oh, God.
I think dog guns have actually been integrated into the new Real Guns Advanced.
And oh, what nice. A feature it is.
Yes. I know a friend of mine, Kurashiki, she just absolutely loves it. Every single time she plays it, she always gets the dog guns.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, there is something incredibly surreal about a Japanese girl giggling as she shoots little puppies at a plush at an arc vial, and it dies because of the plush onslaught.
It's the simple pleasures in life, really.
Yeah. It's just one of those things you have to behold for yourself.
It's just one of those things that'll never run dogged.
Sorry, was that a pun?
No.
It's just one of those things.
There you go.
What about you, Kenzie? What have you been working on?
So when Brutal Doom 64 came out, I'm not sure if I talked about this. I think I might have just been starting on it last time we recorded, but I started looking into like how to vanillaize it, I guess, so you could play other gameplay mods in it. So I started doing some research, and I found that it was based on another mod called GZ Doom 64, which added Hang a bunch a of crap. Mm. And then that was based on another mod, ZDoom 64, which was added its own crap, which was based on a Doomsday TC adaption of Doom 64 that has since more or less been abandoned in favor of Doom 64 EX. And I was like, man, I reckon I could probably use this base as my own base and just sort of wheel things back to use the proper monster placements and such. That was a terrible idea.
Isn't that how most great ideas work?
Because that mod was probably made by aliens.
Really, now?
There was no logic. It was this weird fucked up alien logic. Like, everything was done in the worst possible way. Like, someone specifically thought of the possible ways to do a thing, then decided, no, that way is too easy, that way is too smart, let's do it the way that is absolutely the worst and most horrible thing to work with.
You see, I've messed around or taken a look at mods with similar kind of coding, but I don't want to bring it up because it's going to take this podcast in another weird direction for about an hour.
So you've been looking at Pro Doomer, I see.
Something worse.
And it's just, I have fond memories of the PlayStation Doom TC, where the arc vials were replaced with map decorations, and so they decorated the maps by placing arc vials everywhere.
Yeah, it's stuff like that, and like, There are textures definitions for every graphic in the game, including like the title pick and that.
Hmm.
And it's just attempting to untangle that was a horrible nightmare. And then trying to figure out what they did to each individual level was also a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was trying to remove all the revenants. So I removed the revenants from the first few levels and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to test this. Load up one of the levels, a revenant is spawned by a script right in front of me at the start.
What?
And it's just like, this is actively working against me. Someone is making this as I am editing it. And that's around the point I gave up and started drinking.
Hmm.
Maybe there's some kind of sophisticated AI buried in the code of Doom 64 that's trying to break out every time you edit it. Maybe it's a prison.
We call it the mother demon.
There was no intelligence involved behind the scenes there.
Artificial stupidity, then.
The most dangerous kind.
It honestly makes me a little annoyed just thinking about it, actually.
Well,
Think happy thoughts.
Yes, I need to think about other happier things to do, like fix that bug in a Samsara pistol. Oh. I just ordered Duke weapon code, and now I'm unhappy again.
Well, you heard it here, folks. Our GZ Doom 64 project is completely cancelled.
RIP.
And sadly, that's where I was keeping all the data for Caleb in Samsara.
I can't believe Caleb was hiding in the Nintendo 64 this whole time.
What a twist.
Blood 64 probably would have been better than Hexen 64.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sure.
Man, Hexen 64 was such a shitty port.
I didn't even know that existed.
And the worst part is, it was probably the best console version of Hexen.
Hey man, you don't like pre-rendered cutscenes featuring amazing CGI? What's wrong with you?
Okay, those were the good part.
Didn't the PlayStation version of Doom have originally like FMV cutscenes?
That was 3DO planned version. Like the that was planned for like the 3DO version. They made a costume and did like some stills to try and get investors.
Yeah.
They did not bite.
I've seen some of them shots.
Oh, they look amazing.
Someone actually tried doing a sprite of that monster.
Oh, I can imagine that turned out well.
It did, actually. It looks pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah.
It throws dead Marines at you.
No, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. It's amazing how just, even nowadays, people are still uncovering incredible stuff about a 20-year-old game. Well, 22 at this point, actually.
There are so many weird stories that have congregated around this one game that people are still trying to untangle all these threads.
Mm-hmm. Did you like, that's like I found out just recently, the code for the pathfinding in Doom originated in Catacombs 2D way back in the day and lasted all the way up to Doom 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just kept re-importing it into pretty much every project except Quake 3. Mm-hmm. Just same comments, same variable names.
Sometimes code's useful, you just want to reuse it. Lord knows I'm guilty of that.
Is any of your code you reuse like 20 years old? I mean, granted, some of it probably feels like it.
Well, I might have been importing some stuff I made for Zelda Classic to Doom.
Zelda Classic.
Man, I can't believe Zelda Classic is still being updated. I mean, I played that thing when I was a literal child. It's still being worked on. That's pretty cool.
And no one knows who's still working on it. It just appears someday. Someone pushes a box into a server room.
Yeah, actually, I mean, I was trying to look up who's still currently maintaining it, and nobody... It was just the ZC team. Okay, who's the ZC team? We do not look behind the curtain.
It's truly probably best off that we don't know.
I wish someone was still doing the Zelda Doom mod.
Ah, yes.
Just, I love that little corridor. That was all it was. Just that corridor, but it was great.
It was a corridor, a sword, Link's pointy fingers. It was great.
I remember an old Zelda mod that like had a chunk of like the castle from the start of Zelda 3 built.
Yeah, that
you
was...
You mean Doom Center?
No. Doom Center kind of nicked from this mod. I mean, keep saying the name Zeldoom. That's what it was. I think I've still got a copy of it around. I mean, it's barely existent. Like I said, just start a Zelda 3, the castle, got a sword, got a magic spell, and that's it.
Mm.
But it's a nice proof of concept.
There was another one that I saw that tried to replicate the top-down, regular Link to the Past kind of aesthetic, which was pretty cool. But again, that's another project that was just abandoned by the wayside.
There's kind of a whole lot of that in our community, and, well, can't honestly blame them. I mean, ideas are easy to come by. Actually, finishing stuff is really, really hard.
Inspiration is easy to come by and easy to lose.
Say that again.
So inspiration what have you been working is... on,
Thomas? What have I been working on? Speaking of inspiration is easy to come by, I've mentioned before that 2016, I really wanted it to be a year where I can really better my mapping skills, and recently I forced myself into a challenge where I would make a map layout in Startan pretty much every other day, and I had to skip the last couple of days because my friends wanted to hang with me, and... You know, I mean, they're my friends. I like my friends. They're cool. They're
this word people. You keep mentioning, friends. What does this mean?
Well, it was a show that was popular in the 90s, but that's not important right now. And it's really kind of a shotgun approach to creativity because I'm just slapping a whole bunch of shapes together, trying to compile it together into a single map, then I shove it out and work on the next one. There is very little detailing, very little thought put into them, very little real effort. Well, that's not to say there isn't any effort because, no, I'm putting a lot of effort into making these but it's very much just improv, map on the fly, toss a bunch of shapes out, link them together, try and connect them, figure out how they'd flow together, make something neat, interesting, then shove it out, work on the next one. And it's surprisingly difficult to keep up with. Even just this random throw shapes together, do something, boy, that really burns me out. I'm on my 8th-ish map, and I'm starting to really feel the burn.
It sounds like the extreme opposite end of the scale to me, where I kind of obsess over a small, tiny starting area and then get hung up on the details and walk away for a month.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. I've mentioned this before in an early podcast, but I was talking to some of the mapping alumni about their process of mapping, and they were actually kind of similar. I asked SkillSol or SOL40M, again, I've mentioned this before, but I asked them about their mapping process, and their answer kind of boiled down to, step one, I make a square box. Step two, I stare at it. Step three, I lie down on the floor, curl up in a ball, and cry.
It's like they've been inside my head.
Mapping is difficult. It's surprisingly hard.
Mm.
Especially considering, how do you account for all of the factors of mapping at once? Do you focus on enemy placement first? Well, you can't do that, because for enemy placement, you need a map layout. Do you work on map layout first? Well, to do that, you need to figure out how the map is going to look ahead of time. How do you figure out how the map is going to look ahead of time? Well, that shouldn't really matter, because what matters is how the map plays. Well, how's the map going to play? Well, you got to figure out how the enemies approach the player. How are you going to figure out the enemy approaching? And so on, it goes in a circle and a circle.
Yep.
I haven't got a lot of maps under my belt, mostly just the ones I did for the dumps. But when I worked on those, I basically started with a single set piece. And sort of built off, I started with that, and then I built the rest of the map around that set piece. With my dump 2 map, it was the lift going up and down. With dump 3, it was the lobby area. I have a clear idea in my head of what I want to do with that specific set piece. And then once that's built, building that out, I get the idea of, well, what I want to have branch out from there.
So I think it's safe to say both of your maps have an emphasis on stuff rising up.
Yeah, Sigmund Freud would probably have a few things to say about that. He'd probably have a few things to say about most of his podcast, actually.
Freud would shit his pants.
What is this devil television?
What is this internet? What is this Danburu? Oh. 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 Oh.
Thought we finished talking about HDM.
Alright, and I think with that, it's probably good to call it off.
Now that we've set the tone right through the floor.
I would like to thank Icarus Lives very much for coming along.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
It has definitely been a pleasure. And we will see you all next week. As usual, please be sure to tell us if you have any criticisms, any complaints, any sort of feedback you'd like to give us. And take care, everybody. Keep on dooming, and we'll see you all next bi-week.
It's been
real.
Well,
these guys might. Maybe I just won't turn up again.
Shivers, no.
Only time will tell.
Shivers, no. Don't go. I don't think we'll do anything without you.
How else will we know about AirPod?
Well, actually, now that you bring it up, I was going to mention,